Know the only truth, Sebastian Santisteban, all rights reserved. Without the re and authorization of the publisher, it is strictly forbidden, under the sanctions established by law. The partial or total reproduction of this work by any means or process, including reprography and computer processing, and the distribution of copies of this work by rental or public lending. Introduction. Control of humanity. Pandemic and our mental power. The incomprehensible and unreal nothingness and everything. They do not want us to wake up. Final reflection. Introduction. There are things that will always end up escaping our traditional understanding because we are so conditioned. And we have been so for many generations. It may be that now, with the massive access to a lot of information, we begin to know more of what has been hidden, but under this same massiveness is that it becomes difficult to connect the dots that lead to discovering certain truths that were hidden. The one truth, which is why you entered this book, is that there are many truths. Yours, mine, and, what I consider the most powerful of all, the truth/reality that we all together create as a planetary community. As much as I write about personal development, every so often books like this come to me as a message. I can be brushing my teeth, working out, or even just lost in the middle of nowhere or surrounded by many people when a thought/idea pops up and whispers to me, "This is the title of the new book, write down the table of contents now." I am passionate about mysteries, I admit it. If it is not that I read or look at something somewhere, I myself end up pondering and going to levels where I put my own mind in check to realize how limited it ends up being to the physical and three-dimensional. But without getting discouraged, in this book we will talk in depth about the control that is exercised over all of us at an unconscious level and how this even leads to these people being able to predict what will happen, or even, us to create those same things that we then catalog as predictions. As a result of this, we will introduce COVID and pandemic, but more than anything to open our eyes to discover its secret formula of manipulation and not let it rule us anymore. The last two chapters is where we will push our mind to its limit to try to expand the understanding and perspectives we have of ourselves, the past, the earth and the future from there. In these chapters, you can prepare to shatter boundaries and beliefs that were dwelling in your mind that were false. It should be noted that I do not come here as the savior or a god with all the answers you need, nor am I the one who knows the most or knows best. I only feel that I have a great tool, writing, and a great power of communication with which I can get messages like these to millions of people. What is my purpose? To uncover my blindfolds more and more, to easily connect with my essence and realize that I am a spiritual being living a human experience. That I am not a physical body, but that I am inhabiting one. That I am nothing and no one, but that I am also everything and everyone. And by direct consequence, so are you. Control of humanity. People who are reading this book probably already know that the greatest mass control is exercised daily through the media. Today, TV is still the place where most people watch the news of what is happening in the world and where the most drama is usually exercised. Although unfortunately, this virus is now also spreading to other social networks, and wherever you are and whatever you do, you are going to come across some dramatic news, and if it is something that ekes a group of people en masse, or all of humanity, all the more reason. I'll be more specific so we can go much deeper into the subject. What do I mean when I say virus in the previous paragraph? In that, the greatest weapon of manipulation exercised by the great ones, we will also call them the elite, is fear. Through fear, uncertainty, and repetition, they end up establishing in our minds thoughts like the world is in chaos, we are all going to die, people are dying for X reason, the Third World War is coming, etc. And of course, not only that. This is when something massive happens, which makes the manipulation evident, but during the rest of the year or in the time where there is nothing new to tell/invent about something like that, the only thing they show in the news are robberies, deaths, accidents, or new diseases that appear. But you know, I don't blame them, I don't think anyone is to blame for anything. But I do believe in one word, responsibility. I believe that you and I are responsible not for what they show on the news, but for what we choose to consume. Or why do you think that all they show is that kind of stew? Because that's what people love to consume. Watching that generates a certain addiction and curiosity. It may be for reasons like, not to miss out on what's going on, to be informed or whatever you want. But the truth is that it is simply addictive for their mind. It's even funny to see how they play with colors and use red, understood as a danger for your mind, to draw even more attention so that we can't take our eyes off the TV. Besides, let's be honest, with how globalized the world is, spreading the rumor that there is a new disease or that the Third World War is coming and so you and I will be scared shitless is something very gygy simple. Just pick up the phone and tell them to publish something like that to all the puppets they have as ringleaders to the public. But why would they do something like that? The answer is simple and we have already given it, for control. It is easier to do things if they have millions of people up their sleeves and thinking the same way without questioning anything. It is easy to rule as they please with their rules if no one questions, even a little bit, the veracity of every act. What you have just read is not a criticism, far from it. It is also not a vent on my part towards this massive control. It is simply a fact and from my reality what I see. But it does not have to be true. Anyway, I consider it useful to be able to get deeper and deeper into this book and build this unique truth. He hasn't seen anything yet, I haven't asked him much yet. But keep PUing belts on your mind if you don't want to be blown away in the next pages. As a phrase goes, he who controls the media, controls the minds. What would you tell me if the biggest epidemics and pandemics in history were planned? Of course, even COVID. And I highlight this now, even though it is the subject of the next chapter, because the virus that has been going around for 2 years is the clear example of this control through fear that I am mentioning to you. Since its appearance, the news and social networks were the only thing they talked about. And if all you read and hear about is that thousands of people are dying from this disease, aren't you a little afraid of getting sick? That's why the real virus is fear. All this gives me cause to show you something that will leave you with your mouth open, The Economist magazine. One of the most influential media in the world is The Economist, a weekly publication based in London, which frequently covers current events in international relations and the state of the economy from a global point of view. The RST issue of the weekly was published in September 1843 under the direction of James Wilson, and today the leading publication belongs to the powerful conglomerate The Economist Group, a publishing company 50% owned by the Rothschild and Agnelli families. Although we will not talk here about the wealthiest families in the world, we did that in the book Satsupser, it is worth remembering that the Rothschilds are the largest banking family in the world to whom basically all the money that is in credit is owed. So, yes, it is one of the most powerful families today, which also means that it is one of the families that can exert the most control. Premonitory covers. If you analyze the covers of the diarrant editions of The Economist magazine, you can see how, like cryptography, they transmit hidden messages that end up being a kind of prediction of where the world is heading. This is the magazine for the year 2022, let's take a closer look at their predictions. 1. Democracy versus autocracy. The U.S. midterm elections and China's Communist Party Congress will vividly contrast their rival political systems. Which is better at delivering stability, growth, and innovation? This rivalry will play out in everything from trade to technology regulation, from vaccines to space stations. As President Joe Biden attempts to unite the free world under the banner of democracy, his dysfunctional and divided country is a bad advertisement on its merits. 2. Pandemic to endemic. New antiviral pills, improved antibody treatments and more vaccines are coming. For vaccinated people in the developed world, the virus will no longer be life-threatening. But it will still pose a deadly danger in the developing world. Unless vaccines can be scaled up, COVID-19 will have become one of the many endemic diseases that eat the poor, but not the rich. 3. Inflation concerns. Supply chain disruptions and increased demand for energy have pushed up prices. Central bankers say it is temporary, but not everyone believes them. Britain is at particular risk of stagnation, due to post-Brexit labor shortages and its reliance on expensive natural gas. 4. The future of work. There is broad consensus that the future is hybrid and that more people will spend more days working from home. But there is plenty of room for disagreement about the details, how many days and which ones, and will it be fair? Surveys show that women have less desire to return to the OAS, so they may be at risk of being passed over for promotions. Also looming are debates over tax rules and remote monitoring of workers. 5. The new tech lash. Regulators in the US and Europe have been trying to rein in the tech giants for years, but have yet to make a dent in their growth or profits. Now China has taken the lead, targeting its tech companies in a brutal crackdown. President Xi Jinping wants them to focus on deep tech that provides geostrategic advantage, not on frivolities like gaming and shopping. But will this boost Chinese innovation or stifle industry dynamism? 6. Cryptography grows. Like all disruptive technologies, cryptocurrencies are being tamed as regulators tighten the rules. Central banks are also looking to launch their own centralized digital currencies. The result is a three-way GHT for the future of Nance, between the crypto blockchain DeFi crowd, more traditional tech companies and central banks, that will intensify in 2022. 7. Climate crisis. As wildfires, heat waves, and droughts increase in frequency, a surprising lack of urgency prevails among policymakers when it comes to addressing climate GPYG change. Moreover, decarbonization requires the West and China to cooperate, just as their geopolitical rivalry deepens. Pay attention to a solar engineering experiment that Harvard researchers will conduct in 2022, releasing dust from a balloon at high altitude, a technique that, at this rate, may be needed to buy the world more time to decarbonize. 8. Travel problems. Activity is picking up as economies reopen. But countries that followed a zero-COVID suppression strategy, such as Australia and New Zealand, face the difficult task of managing the transition to a world where the virus is endemic. Meanwhile, nearly half of all business travel is gone for good. That's good for the planet, but bad for the tourists whose travel is subsidized by business travelers who spend money. 9. Space races. 2022 will be the RST year in which more people go into space as paying passengers than government employees, transported by rival space tourism companies. China will complete its new space station. Filmmakers are competing to make movies in microgravity. And NASA will crash a space probe into an asteroid, in a real-life mission that sounds like a Hollywood movie. 10. Pellets policies. The Winter Olympics in Beijing and the World Cup in Qatar will be reminders of how sport can unite the world, but also of how major sporting events often end up as political footballs. Protests directed at both host countries are expected, although boycotts of national teams seem unlikely. Also, something very clear that we can end is the logo of the Cardano, Ethereum, Litecoin, and Bitcoin cryptocurrencies, perhaps referring to the fact that these cryptocurrencies are the imminent future towards which we are heading. For those who are more curious, I suggest you put in the YouTube search engine The Economist magazine predictions and then put in the year you want to see. There you have hours of content of people analyzing each of the magazines and, as there are many from previous years, you will be able to see how the things that have been fooled in each magazine have come true. And since we are talking about predictions, how many know the series The Simpsons? In the world of conspiracies, this TV series has become very popular because of the incredible coincidences that occur regarding the events that happen in the series and then end up happening in reality. Let's see some of the most famous predictions that this TV series has made and that have come true. The Simpsons as a direct channel to the future. The 11s when Lisa shows Bart a poster, it shows the message that the number 9 and the two towers form the date of September 11th, predicting the attack 4 years earlier. After the attack, the episode was withdrawn, but since 2017 it started to be rebroadcast. The presidency of Donald Trump in the famous episode Bart to the Future, Lisa Simpson is president, who is not terribly difficult to understand. But what is strange is that this episode, aired in 2000, predicted that she would succeed President Donald Trump. Tiger Attack in episode 91 of season 5, Springgeld, out comes the attack of a tiger on one of its tamers, Roy. This aired on December 16, 1993. And a decade later it actually happened in a Las Vegas show, with the real Roy as the main character. Richard Branson's journey into space. No, they didn't call him Richard Branson by name, but even Virgin Atlantic realized that a 2008 episode of A Billionaire in Space looked remarkably like Richard Branson, who got on a plane in 2021, for real, and headed into the stratosphere, reaching 85 kilometers high and hovering with a crew of Virgin employees. The 2014 World Cup in episode 546 of season 25, You Don't Have to Be a Referee, The Simpsons predicted three relevant events of the World Cup in Brazil, 3 months before they happened. The RST was Neymar's injury, which sidelined him from the competition. The second was Colombia's passage to the round of 16, and the last was the seminal between Germany and Brazil, in which the home team lost 7-1. Video calls and virtual reality. When Lisa and Bart grow older, the whole Simpsons environment is nourished by new technologies, which at that time were not as widespread as they are now. In episode 122 of season 6, Lisa's Wedding, aired in 1995, we see how Lisa, who lives in England, contacts Marge by video call. On the other hand, Bart introduces virtual reality games in the episode Bart of the Future, released on March 19, 2000, 15 years before their use became widespread. Virus. The Simpsons predicted some of the viruses that most affected the world's population in recent years, Ebola and the coronavirus. In the 1997 episode Lisa's Saxophone, Marge shows Bart a book with a person bedridden with Ebola on the cover. Years later, this virus unleashed a dangerous pandemic in Liberia. On the other hand, although they did not predict the coronavirus, in the chapter Marge in Prison of 1993, it was seen how a virus arrived from China in a package that Homer had ordered and how this disease affected the whole world. January 2021. The last prediction was that of January 2021, in which in one of the new episodes of season 32 Marge and several Springeld neighbors were seen wearing masks. As we can see, there are many predictions that have been carried out. And of course, reacting on it would make us create hundreds of doubts and theories about it. In reality, whether we want to believe in this or not, it is something that is happening and has happened years ago. The Simpsons are somehow predicting the future, or perhaps, creating it. We cannot rule out that millions of people have been influenced by this television series. I mean, from a more quantum level where we are all connected and information is all one, it is not unreasonable to conclude that everything already exists. And if everything already exists, it means that both the past and the future we are living now. Therefore, there would be no past or future, but simply an infinite sea of possibilities where we as humans can choose some and enter that reality. And how is it possible that things happen globally that seem like predictions? Perhaps, because under the influence of this TV series, there are millions of people creating the same reality. In other words, accessing the same quantum information. A simple board game. And in addition to these predictions, we cannot miss the Illuminati LEERS. Although again about these LEERS you have much more information in the book Satsupsir, let's see some others or those that agree with the predictions that have also been made by The Simpsons. Before we get into the subject, let's put ourselves in context. In the year 1994, Steve Jackson invented a role-playing game to be called the Illuminati New World Order game. What was the objective of the game or what is it about? The game is to develop and consolidate a power structure through which you can rule the world from the shadows in the name of your chosen order, while manipulating society and dealing apocalyptic blows to your opponents. Interesting and fun. Also, it is important that we stick with the date of creation, since the shocking and fascinating thing about this is that the game was created long before the predictions came true. This game has become popular in the mystery community for its shocking predictions, including the 9/11 attack and the COVID pandemic, among others that we will see. Some say that this is evidence enough of the control they exercise without us realizing it and how everything is basically planned by this Illuminati sect or who knows what they call themselves today. Charts 1 and 2, Epidemic and Disease Control. Card 1, Epidemic. This is what the description of the card says, Disaster. This is an act to destroy any location. It does not require an action. This is not an instant attack, other groups can interfere normally. If the AAC is successful, the target will be devastated. This AAC cannot actually destroy the target. On this occasion, this card called Epidemic shows us in the image the word quarantine. We also see a mask, gloves, and disinfectants. Was the coronavirus planned by the Illuminati? It is curious to observe how in such a specific way this LEER represents what we have been living for 2 years now. Quarantine, masks and AU called COVID. Card 2, Disease Control. Here's what it says in the description: as an action, the CDC, acronym for Center for Disease Control, can provide relief to one devastated site at a time. If the CDC makes a direct act to destroy a site, it can use biological warfare and get plus 15 to the AAC. If the AAC fails, CDC will automatically be destroyed by the owner of the AAC location. This may refer to the theories that accompanied COVID in its early days related to the tension between the US and China. When the virus was unleashed, the stock market, where the world's largest companies are listed, had the biggest drop in history. As we will see in the next LEER, everything may be revolving around market manipulation and the purpose may be nothing more than economic. In fact, if it is evident that the greatest control is being exercised anywhere, it is through the monetary system. Card 3, Market Manipulation. This is what it says in the description: this card can be used at any time. And the truth is that they do use it, at any time and without the most advance warning, of course. Neither you nor I will be able to know exactly when the next world collapse or the next moment where the economy will be eaten. It just so happens that when it happens, it is always due to some external factor or other which is shrouded in mysticism and theories. Let's see, I am not saying that it is not natural for the stock market to fall. What I am trying to show you is how obvious it is that they manipulate it for their own benefit. What this is all about is spreading fear, the biggest virus. From my point of view, how this works is very simple. First they start planning the economy and then they destroy it so that people panic and accept more easily the new rules of the new world order. Something like, create a virus, generate fear through the media, then create the solution, vaccine, and be the hero of the show. Card 4, Mask of Death. Whoever wears it can see a slightly diarrhoea world through their eyes, and when the mask comes, oh, the diarrhoea world is the real one. This LEER does not directly contain a prediction or another conspiracy theory, but it does give me room to cover a little more of what this book is about and what I am showing you here. When you take off the mask or the blindfold you were wearing, you begin to see things that others don't see, or things that were always there but you couldn't see them before because maybe you didn't even imagine they existed. The card, in my opinion, is called the Mask of Death because while we wear it we are conditioned to the truths that have been sold to us as true, but once we take it off, we can access the innate world of possibilities. Also, within this, I think it is evident that it is called death because in the 3D physical world we live in, death is a fact, when in reality it is not so at a metaphysical level. Death could be nothing more than a social construction. Is that, if we are energy and all of it is, how could anything die? Although, the real question and the one that intrigues me the most to ask you is, would you be willing to take off your mask? You may think it's ridiculous for me to ask since if you're reading this book it's because you're not afraid of anything, least of all knowing the truth. But I would like you to really feel that question. If all of this that you will see here, at least 1/1000th of it could be true, how would you feel? They say out there that some things are BER left unknown. I agree. But I also believe that we deserve to know absolutely everything and that it will all come to the extent that one is willing to receive it. To the extent that one is that, connects with that and serves you for this passage through this dimension that you are now experiencing. Finally, appreciate for yourself this card and its comparison to a very important historical event. The September 11th AAC. Card 5 Y6, terrorist nuclear bomb and Pentagon. A lot of things have been said about the Twin Towers AAC and many of them have been labeled as crazy and even stupid. One of them is the fact that the Twin Towers were not destroyed by an airplane, but were demolished by explosives from inside the tower. This is supported by the fact that it seems a bit unlikely that the steel beams were brought down simply by the fuel of the planes and their explosion, even taking into account that the alleged crash occurred at the heights of the 47th hour. Added to this, we have the Illuminati card you are looking at on your left, which is entitled Terracit Nuke, i.e. Terrorist Nuclear Bomb. And let's remember, these cards were created 6 years before the bombing. As if that were not enough, there is still more. Some have said that the media was part of the conspiracy since they supposedly knew every single thing that was going to happen. It is said that the main channels had a script, and to back this up, there is a video of Jane Stanley, a BBC journalist, in which she is seen reporting the events against the backdrop of the RE in the towers. In between the broadcast, a banner appeared in the middle of her report indicating that the 7 World Trade Center had also collapsed. The text lasted more than a minute on screen. However, by that time the building had not collapsed. It fell minutes later. Card 6, Pentagon Well. The other image below the Twin Towers is none other than the Pentagon, which also swore an alleged terrorist act that same day. Although there are not many theories about it since the main focus of attention was on the Twin Towers, I am enclosing that LEER and the respective real image to further rearm the same. The Illuminati charts predicted these events in detail. Although, let me correct, the only thing these LEERs did was to tell us in advance something that was planned. Something that the entire population did not know was going to happen, but for some people it was already re-in. Finally, and to close this chapter, I want us to look at something. The real business, patents. At this point I know that the information we have seen so far is mostly shocking, but I saved a little more for last. Did you know that there are patents registered not only for diseases but also for extraterrestrial technology? Well, when someone creates something and wants to own it, they must patent it. And many of these patents are listed on Google and are publicly available. So, let's see what some of them have to say, as a piece of information before we continue. If you want to see the same thing I will show you here, just type the code of the patent in the Google search engine. Patent N Degree 1, Coronavirus Code, US7220852B1. Here's what it says on Google: a newly isolated human coronavirus, SARS-CoV, the causative agent of severe acute respiratory syndrome, SARS, is disclosed herein. Also provided are the nucleic acid sequence of the SARS-CoV genome and amino acid sequences of SARS-CoV open reading frames, as well as methods for using these molecules to detect a SARS-CoV and detect infections with SARS-CoV. Immunostimulatory compositions are also provided, along with methods for their use. Patent N Degree 2, Triangular Spaceship Code, US20060145019A1. This is what it says on Google: a spacecraft having a triangular hull with vertical electrostatic linear charges at each corner that produce a horizontal electric ELD parallel to the sides of the hull. This ELD, interacting with a plane wave emitted by antennas on the side of the hull, generates a force by volume that combines lift and propulsion. Patent N Degree 3, a full body teleportation system? Code, US20060071122A1. This is what it says on Google: a pulsed gravitational wave wormhole generator system that teleports a human being through hyperspace from one location to another. Patent N Degree 4, Nervous System Manipulation by Electromagnetic ELDs from Monitors. Code, US6506148B2. This is what it says on Google: physiological EEGs have been observed in a human subject in response to stimulation of the skin with weak electromagnetic ELDs pulsed with certain frequencies near half a hertz or 2.4 hertz, such as to excite a sensory resonance. Many computers, monitors and TV tubes, when displaying pulsed images, emit pulsed electromagnetic ELDs of sufficient amplitude to cause such excitation. Therefore, it is possible to manipulate a subject's nervous system by pulsing images displayed on a nearby computer monitor or TV set. For the LEER, the pulsed image can be embedded in the program material, or it can be superimposed by modulating a video stream, either as an RF signal or as a video signal. The image displayed on a computer monitor can be actively pulsed by a simple computer program. Patent N Degree 5, Electric Dipole Spacecraft. Code, US 2006003808 1A1. Here's what it says on Google. This invention is a rotating spacecraft that produces an electric dipole and four rotating spherical conducting domes that perturb a uniform spherical electric eld to create a magnetic moment that interacts with the gradient of a magnetic eld that generates a lift force on the hull. Patent N degree 6, Ebola code, US 2012020251501502A1. This is what it says on Google. Compositions and methods comprising and relating to Ebola Bundibugyo virus, EboBun, are provided. Compositions are provided that function as immunogens to elicit an immune response or protection against exposure to EboBun in a subject such as a primate. The inventive methods are directed to the detection and treatment of EboBun infection. Ebola epidemic of 2014 to 2016 patented, but patented 2008. In addition to the above, the Zika virus, which occurred in 2016, is also said to have been patented in no less than 1947. With Zika, it is not only shocking to learn that it is patented, but also that they were selling it for a price of 600 euros. Who? The Rockefellers, another of the most powerful and wealthy families of all mankind. Although we do not have the patent code of the law ER, it is not at all strange to think of it as a very possible possibility. However, as a reaction, it is necessary to emphasize and also leave room for doubt. There is the possibility that, although all this is possible, it is actually fake. I know, reading this produces a kind of downer now that your mind was already beginning to be convinced of a new reality or worldview. And that is where I think the problem is and where it is not my interest for you to go into. Because I am not looking to convince you, nor am I suggesting that you go down that road. Going from one conviction to another will only keep you steeped in thoughts and more doubts. This book and this information should be taken with a pinch of salt and more as entertainment than anything else. In fact, I believe that everything in life should be taken this way. What has helped me the most is to question absolutely everything and then from there, choose what to believe. But not to choose because of some need, neither you nor I need to believe something. But in this experience it can be useful to us, and that's as far as I go. The for what it is useful to you is already your duty. It is true that I may be the one who brings this information to you, but it is also true that this information came to you. Therefore, perhaps more than starting to believe new things, it is time to start unlearning and disbelieving things you used to believe. This is also part of taking o the blindfold. In the next chapter I will try to bring some calm, peace and love towards all the mental noise that I believe we have been carrying since a couple of years ago when the pandemic and quarantine started. Because yes, it is true that viruses like this had already happened and world catastrophes too, but everything had never been as massive as it is today because of the media and the access to social networks where everything goes viral very fast. So, as much as I will be quite direct in my statements and questions, you will see a reconnection with your inner power. With the creative power that both you and I have. Pandemic and our mental power as it is the most recent, everything that revolves around theories about COVID, the manipulation and planning of it may not be true and we may not be able to conclude anything. From my perspective, there are a few things that are evident which we can at least comment on. The use of masks, okay, let's say it's true that the virus is ultra-contagious and no one is spared. But with the use of masks this would be reduced to almost 0%. Well, it doesn't make sense to me. Even though the use of masks is nothing new, since it is very common in medical centers, now the entire world population has the same fear, if I don't use it, I may catch it, so I better use it, even if I don't want to, so I don't catch it. Next thing you know, contagion. The mask versus the same as trying to cover the sun with a anger. It is the external solution to a fear that is inside. Social distancing as the social beings that we are, the fact of relating with others and sharing quality time has very positive effects on our organism. There are studies that indicate that by simply giving a hug we already feel more relaxed, gain more confidence and reduce stress. Why would we stop doing something that seems to have such good effects on our health? I was one of those who was initially very sympathetic to all the ideas of distancing. I became obsessed with washing my hands every time I touched something and even started missing important gatherings of loved ones to be careful not to catch it. Fortunately for me, I moved on and realized that I was just being afraid. It helped me to accept that everything is perfect just the way it is. Vaccines, since the problem appeared, this has always been the most desired and expected solution by the majority. Again, an external solution to an internal problem. For me, it was funny to see how they launched a vaccine and a little later they said that another dose had to be given because the previous one was not so efficient. And then those who ran after the one that seemed to be better. Many times I came to wonder, seriously, no one questions this. I could understand that many people may have had no choice at the time and just went along with the process without being a part of it, but other people went crazy to get vaccinated. I will discuss this tool in more detail in the next few pages. From the external solution to an internal problem and our mental power in this process. The newscasts, if you look closely at the news and even more so at the news that was related to COVID and the pandemic, it was hard not to notice how blatant and exaggerated they were being. All they were doing was saying that people were dying from this virus and that the only thing that was happening was that its spread was increasing. Apparently, for a long time no one else was dying from anything other than COVID. Not only that, but they always justify that they don't tell the whole truth so as not to cause panic, but with the pandemic it was just the opposite. Strange. The market and the economy. I remember at the time I was analyzing the financial markets and speculating on the buying and selling of world currencies to make money on the transactions. Although I was not doing well, I was very much into world news as it is the news that most ekes the market, which is pure collective emotionality. Back then it was part of my day-to-day life to consume news and be aware of what was going on financially in the world. Firsthand, I saw for years how manipulated the economy is from the inside. How they continually manipulate the price with fake or delayed news to keep accumulating more money and the big companies keep getting richer and richer. Back then, there was a lot of talk that the markets couldn't go on like this since they were at their highest point. That everything that goes up has to come down and that at any moment something would happen. But of course, everything can't just fall just like that. You need some external trigger, like a global catastrophe, to cause a very sharp downward movement. COVID was the perfect tool. World population. There was a rumor going around that there were already too many of us on Earth and that a kind of purge was necessary. And since the virus mainly ekes the elderly, who are considered a burden for the economy, the business comes out in a big way. Create an ultra-contagious virus and generate fear in all the inhabitants to make it even more efficient. I know this sounds quite cruel, but it has its logic. At levels we have no idea, everything is nothing more than pure business. The war between powers. Shortly before the pandemic broke out, things between the US and China were very tense. It is said that it was actually planned by the US as a strategic move for economic purposes because China is on its way to becoming the world's greatest power, if it is not already. So, by planting this virus there, which we know has the main characteristic of being highly contagious, all products exported by China are going to be considered as dangerous, so their income would be reduced. This was more in the beginning, things have changed since then. Also, there are others who say that in reality China was the one who created this virus to make some important economic movements, such as taking over large US companies located in their country and that were greatly eked by the emergence of the pandemic. Undoubtedly, this is a truth that is beyond the information we can gather. But there is a catch. I believe that it is not a question of looking for a culprit here, but of knowing how easily we can be manipulated and deceived by generating massive fear in all of us. The acceleration of digital. It was evident that the avalanche of technology and remote work was coming, but with the quarantine the speed with which it was introduced was much faster and more abrupt than people expected. Many businesses had to close and many others went bankrupt because they didn't go digital, or didn't know how to do it. All this is what is behind a simple virus, but it is backed by fear. And using fear as a weapon of manipulation is nothing new either. GPPG. The church has been doing it since its beginnings, telling us that there are capital sins which lead you straight to hell. Our mind is unconsciously programmed to avoid pain. This leads us to move more out of fear than out of love. So if all we see outside are contagions and deaths, the seed of fear begins to increase until we reach a point where we do not doubt that all this is true. I'm not saying it's false either. People get infected and people also die, but they are still individual and whole beliefs. One with all and all with the whole. So, you may be wondering, should I completely ignore what is going on in the world? Not necessarily. I believe that within this world there are several worlds. Your mind is one, for example, as well as that of your neighbor, your partner, or your parents. Each person inhabits his own reality and it is from there that he creates and contributes to reality as a whole. That is why you do not need to ignore the rest, it is enough to become aware of yourself. How would you apply this to the pandemic and everything that happens? If we are told to wear a mask, wear it simply to follow the patterns, but not to believe that the mask is the solution. If they tell you that you have to get vaccinated to continue working or doing X thing, do it if you have no other choice, but knowing that the vaccine is not the solution either. Whoever knows the fear of people, becomes the master of their souls. Anonymous, I could go on. But then, what is the solution? Knowing that there is no problem. That there are simply beliefs. If there is no problem, you don't need a solution. So without the need to solve something, you don't focus on the problem, you focus on continuing to live your life. Another way to look at the rules imposed on us is to do the opposite. If you are told to isolate yourself, not to hug, st bump, or wash your hands at every moment, do the opposite. YPP bond, hug a lot, hold hands tightly and joyfully, and wash your hands if you want to. What do I mean? Do nothing out of fear. Do what you really want to do, but be aware of your emotion behind it. You can isolate yourself out of love too. You cannot hug because you simply don't feel like it or st bump because it is more fun for you. We can see everything in many ways and none will be right or wrong except the one that resonates with you. With your essence, not with your fear of something happening to you. All of this now allows us to talk about the mental power we all have. The cure is closer than you think. At some point in your life, have you ever said something like, I'm going to take this because it's good for me, or I always feel better when I do such and such? That was nothing more than yourself conditioning your body to react in a certain way when performing a specific action. Something like the placebo effect, your words and thoughts about something conditioning the effect it may or may not produce. The placebo effect, although not much talked about, is one of those most incredible mysteries that concerns us all, because we all live it and use it without even knowing it. A great book that you can read and become much more informed on the subject is The Placebo Is You by Dr. Joe Dispenza. To explain in a few words the placebo effect, we could say the following: if you go to the doctor's office and they tell you that X medication works for what is happening to you at that moment, you believe them. How could you doubt it? Well, what if the medicine, instead of containing chemical properties, was simply sugar wrapped in a pill? In other words, you are given the same medicine, but in reality what it contains is something that you consume every day and you do not associate healing properties with it. Do you think it would produce the same effect as a real medicine? Well, it has been proven that it does. The simple fact that the patient believes that he is going to be cured by what he ingests, he is cured. GGYG, this is because we gave an order to our mind and it is convinced that it will be so. There is no doubt that what the doctor is giving him is something that will do him good. And while this may seem like a deception from you to your mind, the opposite is actually true. A study was conducted where patients were told that they were going to take sugar pills but that it would have the same positive effect on their health as taking the drug, and the results were positive. Patients improved even though they knew they were taking a placebo. There is a very famous story of Mr. Wright, who was diagnosed with cancer in 1957 and given only a few days to live. Hospitalized in Long Beach, California, with tumors the size of oranges, he learned that a horse serum, Crebiosin, had been discovered that could be effective against cancer. His doctor, Philip West, agreed to administer it to him on a Friday afternoon. The following Monday, outside his deathbed, the patient joked with the nurses, and days later found that the tumors had melted like snowballs. 2 months later, Wright read reports calling the serum a quack remedy. He swore an immediate relapse. The doctor then told Wright, "Don't believe what you read in the papers," and injected him with water, telling him it was a WEDEV version of the drug. Once again, the tumor melted. Wright was the SPIing image of health for 2 more months, until he read a definitive report that the crebiozin was useless. He died 2 days later. Although simple, this story simplifies what I mentioned earlier: your mind has a very great power to both cure you and make you sick. In the above story, it is very clear how the placebo effect works, both for good and bad. Both to heal and to cure. Now, let's look at another experiment focused on the other side of the coin. Let's talk about the nocebo effect. Illness is an illusion similar, but in reverse. Rather, the nocebo effect describes our ability to believe that something will do us wrong and that this becomes our own premonition. In 1960, a study looked at subjects with asthma. Researchers gave 40 asthmatic patients inhalers containing nothing but water vapor, but told them they contained allergens or irritants. 9 of them, 48%, experienced asthmatic symptoms, such as constriction of the airways, and 12, 30%, of the groups were full-blown asthmatic attacks. The researchers later gave them inhalers telling them that they contained a medicine that relieved their symptoms, and their airways reopened for all of them, even though the inhalers contained only water vapor. In both situations, that of provoking asthmatic symptoms and that of eliminating them, the patients responded to the suggestion as the researchers implanted the thought in their minds, obtaining exactly the expected effect. This begs the question, how suggestible are we? How much can we modify our state of being? What prophecies are we creating in our mind that can be fooled without us realizing it? I felt it was important to include this information because it is directly related to COVID and the vaccines that revolve around it. Of course, the vaccines will do you good if you believe so. And of course, you will have to give yourself more doses if you are told that one is not enough. It's not that what's out there is true or not, it's that it's up to you to decide if it is. And of course, the opposite is also possible, that you don't need any vaccine to avoid getting COVID. But if you choose to believe the story that you do need them, well, guess what? You will. The same thing happens every time you get a headache, fever, or sickness. If when something like that happens to you, the RST thing you do is take a medication because it does you good, it will do you good, but always remember, it is because you believe it. You may also believe that you don't need any medicine, that the simple act of consciously breathing heals you, or that eating an apple does it. Whatever you do, the point is that you become aware that the external is the external, it is not you, but it directly influences you because it is you who ultimately decides what effect it will have. Whether you are aware of this or not, it is what happens. Globally, if we all believe that there is a virus and it is ultra-contagious, we are only being accomplices of our own prophecy. Now, we cannot change the world reality, but we can change our personal reality and from there, contribute to world change. If our mind is going to be conditioned, whether we want it to or not, let us at least use it to empower ourselves. Not to be accomplices of it, but the owners and creators. In this chapter, I am only reminding you with words and deeds something that you live and have lived, but that if you do not change, you will continue to live. To end this chapter, I want to show you 3 fascinating stories of the power of the human mind, just as a bonus for you to remember the mental power you have. Even if you are not those people, you are also those people. Fascinating stories of the powers of the mind. Nina Kulagina. The seminal event on telekinesis is personified by this Russian citizen, who claimed to have psychic powers. For this reason, she agreed to conduct her experiments under the supervision of physicists, doctors, and journalists. At one event, Nina not only managed to raise the objects she had been given, she also turned the hands of the clock, managed to paralyze the heart of a frog and, through a glance, caused the skin of a volunteer to turn reddish. None of the spectators could refute her work, so much so that the abilities of this psychic were investigated by the Soviet Union during the last 20 years of the 20th century. Joaquim Arguez Masella in 1923. An extraordinary case was reported in the press. Joaquim Arguez Masella, son of the Marquis of Santa Clara, could see the contents of closed boxes, presupposing in him an extraordinary vision. Blindfolded, the boy, then 18 years old, was able to read writings inside closed boxes or to tell the exact time of clocks with the lid closed. Repeated sessions were held at the Marquis House under the watchful eye of various authorities, notaries, engineers, doctors, physicists, politicians, writers, and journalists, which gave the case considerable notoriety. Ingo Swann, who calls himself a consciousness explorer, gained some notoriety among circles interested in the study and testing of such paranormal abilities after he conducted an experiment that involved using his remote viewing to study Jupiter. This happened in 1973, when Swann proposed to Russell Targ and Harold Puthoe to take advantage of the fact that the Voyager probe would visit the planet in 1979, allowing them to verify the information. Among other things, Swann stated that Jupiter had rings around it just like Saturn, which was a matter of scientific discussion at the time and was proven once information was obtained from Voyager. The experiment led Swann to be contacted by a series of individuals who worked with such secrecy that they never gave him the name of the institution or program to which they belonged, but who proposed to him to use their skills to explore the moon. The story is long and complex, but the most important part of the case is that through remote viewing he was able to detect various anomalies on the moon, including what appeared to be human beings operating on its surface. The incomprehensible and unreal. This chapter is where you can say goodbye to the lid that holds your brain. If you read the book Satsupsir, you already know a lee about giant anomalies on the sun and ships on the moon, but let me tell you that those chapters don't even remotely compare to what we will see here. Personally, I believe that everything is a conspiracy, but one thing are nonsense conspiracies and quite another those conspiracies that have many points to support them. Once we connect some dots, you will see the immensity of all that is out there. To understand the beastliness of the world of possibilities and realize how tiny we are, it is necessary to look a little outside. That's what we'll do here. The science of extraterrestrial spacecraft and the aliens' inexhaustible energy source. No one has shared as much detailed information about alien spacecraft and the U.S. government as Bob Lazar, who over the years, since 1989, has shared everything he knows firsthand about the UFO phenomenon in interviews and in his famous documentary published on Netflix. Lazar is a former government physicist who in 1989 made headlines around the world when he unveiled his study in reverse engineering extraterrestrial spacecraft for the U.S. military. To this day, the story of this gentleman is considered one of the most shocking of all the ufological eld, so, let's talk a little more in depth about his revelations and who is this guy. Who is Bob Lazar? Lazar is a former scientist who worked at a facility designated S4 just south of Groom Lake, part of Area 51. S4 is rumored to be located within the Papoose Range. Lazar says he was hired to work on reverse engineering the propulsion and power sources of ships that he claimed were not of this world. Lazar rose to fame in the late 1980s when he stepped forward, initially using the assumed name Dennis, and spoke to local Las Vegas news about the work he says he was doing at S4. This open interview he did in 1989, without the cover of a fake name or obscure lights, caught the world's attention. He said he saw Ying saucers in S4 and worked on them, trying to break down their propulsion methods. Is Bob Lazar real? When Lazar came forward, they did a thorough background check on him, but could not end any evidence to support his claims that he went to MIT or Caltech, U.S. universities. Lazar claims that there are these discrepancies, possibly created by the government, to discredit him. Instead of focusing on what he says about extraterrestrial technology, people, like these researchers and documentary filmmakers, spend a lot of time trying to validate basic facts about their past and rarely get past that step. However, Lazar has his own form of proof. He has friends who attest to having picked him up and dropped him off at Caltech. He also points out that he worked for Los Alamos National Laboratory, as evidenced by a phone book and a contemporary newspaper article, despite the lab's denials that he worked there. This is more of the same. When important revelations come out, the U.S. secret agency does everything possible to censor it and if necessary even wipe it off the face of the earth. In Bob's documentary, he makes special mention of Element 115, being one of the most important parts of the whole story told by Lazar. In the documentary, he states that Element 115 not only existed in 1989 when he was in S4, but that a stabilized version is what powers the propulsion of the alien spacecraft. Lazar has hinted in the past that he got something out of S4 before revealing everything in the media, although he has denied it in the decades since and Atlee refuses to talk about it in the documentary. What is surprising about this fact is that in fact Element 115 does exist and is known as Muscovium, which was RST synthesized in 2003 by a team of Russian and American scientists, many years after Lazar commented on it. As mentioned in the paper, Muscovium is super unstable and a stabilized version would be needed to do what Lazar claims it does. Area 51 where Lazar claims he worked was a top secret place that no one talked about until then. But when he comes out and said that there were Ying saucers guarded there, it started to generate a lot of curiosity and intrigue around the world about the veracity of his words and what would really be in there. This is in Lazar's words, "Our job was to see if it was possible to reproduce the technology of those ships with terrestrial materials and systems." During his stay at the base he had the opportunity to see several UFOs and even penetrated one of them. It was the same color on the inside as it was on the outside, metallic. There was a central column that went from the O to the ceiling. It had no angles, it was as if it was made of one piece. The chairs were very small, they seemed to have been made for children. That made me think that this was a ship designed for short extraterrestrial beings, not for human beings. In addition, Lazar said in the interview that he saw documents attesting to the origin of those Ying saucers. There were some documents that indicated that this UFO came from the Zeta Reticuli star system. I have no idea how they knew that. It wasn't just that it came from the Zeta Reticuli star system, but from a place they called ZR3. It was the third planet in that star system. There was no other information, other than that's supposedly where the ship came from. Asked what was inside these objects, Lazar said, "It had a very sinister feeling because everything was one color. It was like a dark pewter color. It had no right angles anywhere. It's as if someone took a model and molded it with wax and then heated it for a short time so that everything melted. Everything seemed to be melted. Everything has a radius, a curvature where two objects meet. It's a very strange thing." There was almost nothing, apart from a small folding hatch, that looked recognizable. It was all really extraterrestrial. There were several different UFOs, one looked like what I called a jello mold. It looked like a classic jello mold with wavy sides. One was a very odd disc, like a straw hat or something. But the curious thing is that one of those objects, according to Bob, looked very old, at least one of them was part of an archaeological dig. So, was old. I don't know if it was the one I worked on, but I remember something related to an archaeological dig. That means it was not only old, but ancient. Recent Othiel confirmation that a security identifier that scanned the palm of the hand was used in some restricted areas of the Groom Lake facility, as Lazar claimed in the 1980s, accurately confirms his account. In addition, the documentary presented a search of Lazar's workplace by the FBI and other U.S. law enforcement agencies while they were making the recording as evidence that the scientist was still being closely watched. But the most disconcerting part of the report is when Bob Lazar himself, without openly confirming it, hints that he has in his possession the famous Element 115, although he inexplicably refuses to talk about it or show it to the public. In fact, the documentary insinuates that the recent FBI searches were precisely looking for Element 115. Drawing of the ship Bob worked on in S4. With Bob's account, the RST statement of the title of this chapter is well synthesized, "The Science of Extraterrestrial Spacecraft, Element 115 in Stable Form." This provided a source of energy with anti-gravitational leaks for high energy production. Now, where did they get this element? Bob says that element 115 was extracted from the sun, since at that time its existence on Earth had not been discovered. Even so, it is still considered an unstable element and therefore there is no possibility of using it as Lazar suggests, or so we have been told so far. To make this a bit more visual, let's simply look at some real images taken from observatories that constantly point at the sun and the anomalies that are constantly walking around there. Magnitudes beyond our human comprehension. March 2012, March 2016, March 2020, March 2000, March 2011. Enlarged image, June 26, 2019, June 15, 2016. Many of these spacecraft or objects that we saw in the previous images are, graphically, gigantic. We are talking about sizes that exceed hundreds of times the size of our planet. And what do the media and NASA say when something like this circulates? Well, that they are simply asteroids, comets, or errors in the recordings. Recordings which are made with high-tech cameras to which no one or almost no one in the population has easy access. Particularly, the image that strikes me the most is the one of the object captured on June 26, 2019, as it has a very precise shape to the ships that throughout history have been described. It even seems similar to the one described by Lazar, only, clearly, of a much, much larger size. This raises the following questions for me: are there, at levels we haven't the slightest idea, giant beings inhabiting even more giant ships? Are these objects manned or are they autonomous ships serving the function of, perhaps, extracting energy from the sun? If they are indeed alien spacecraft, what are they doing there? Are they our creators or do they know that we don't yet? Even if I have all these questions, to be honest, I don't think we are even in the same dimension. I don't even think they see us as we see ants, or maybe that. But this makes one simple thing very clear: they are here, continuously, and closer than we think. To end this part, the aliens' inexhaustible energy source may be the sun or any star from which they can draw energy. And since we are mentioning the subject of giant things, I think it is good that we delve a little deeper so that it is not forgotten and your mind has real data. On YouTube, there is a video titled Star Comparison which I highly recommend you watch. Below, I will simply leave an image so that you can read on without going out of context and continue reading, but really, watch the video as soon as you can, as we can clearly see, even the sun, which is more than 1,294,000 times larger than the Earth, remains very small, almost non-existent even, in front of one of the largest stars observable so far. But it is also not the largest we know of. So, yes, the sun, and of course the Earth, are basically non-existent on a universal scale. Now, imagine you and me there. Under this comparison, isn't it even logical that out there are ships, and even beings of sizes much larger than us? Up to hundreds of times perhaps. And yes, we can be suspicious of those objects we see in the sun with very peculiar shapes, but what about these scientific data? See this image, the sun compared to Uiscut. This star is the one that for now is considered the largest star in our galaxy, and stay with that last one, only in our galaxy. So, if you still have the lid on your head that retains the brain, hold it so that it does not escape with these other images. This is the observable universe so far and the red circle is the cluster of galaxies called Laniakea. The Laniakea galaxy cluster, which is home to the Milky Way, Red Dot, and 100,000 other galaxies. Our galaxy, where our solar system is located, which has a mass of 10 to the 12 solar masses. And you know the rest. From the solar system we go to the planet Earth, then your country, your city, neighborhood, street of that neighborhood, and nally your house. I think we can only stand in awe of such majesty. So, before we dive into our planet Earth, I want us to dive into a possible ancient reality and give more room to the question of whether there are giant beings out there, because in fact, there is a lot of evidence that says that, yes, there were, but here on Earth. The ancestors of mankind referring to this point, what ends up making a lot of sense is that no one contradicts the evidence that we will see below. On a logical level, knowing the exorbitant dimensionalities of which we are a part, that giants existed here on Earth in the past would not be so far-fetched. But as you know, we will not limit ourselves to simply logical analysis, but we will also look at possible proofs of the truths they have tried to hide from us. The funny thing is that when you start digging, the only thing that happens is that you discover the immensity of information that is out there, placed under our noses for us to access the innate world of possibilities and enjoy the absurdity of human existence. And there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God were joined to the daughters of men and they bore them sons. These are the heroes of old, men of renown. Genesis 6:4 Footprints of giants throughout human history. Large institutions have largely focused on completely eliminating all evidence of the existence of giant beings. Proof of this was when the world-renowned Smithsonian Institution, Scientific Research Center, sponsored by the U.S. government, was forced by the Supreme Court in late 2015 to publicly disclose classified documentation proving that the Institute destroyed thousands of skeletons of giant humans in the 1990s. However, in the midst of the trial, a witness came forward who possessed the femur of a giant owned by a former Smithsonian Institution official who left a reinstatement of the reality he witnessed in 1920 when the Institute had thousands of giant bones stored in warehouses. Because of this, the Institute had no choice but to confirm that they had discarded all archaeological and paleontological evidence for the existence of giants on Earth. The only detail that the Institute did not count on is that the hundreds of giant footprints that have been seen around the Earth will not be erased and hidden so easily, so the evidence is still very convincing. The question is, what would beings of such dimensions be doing walking barefoot around the Earth? Although the question may seem comical, it seems that we are very far from having any sensible answer to this kind of question. The truth is that we don't have the slightest idea of who they were or what they were doing. The point is that they left more than clear evidence that they were here. To give us an idea, the dimensions of these footprints range from 45 centimeters to 1.30 meters long, equal to that of humans, with five toes, heel, and plantar arch hands of giants. A team of archaeologists made a macabre entry around an ancient Egyptian palace where they found 16 severed hands 3,600 years old in four different pits. All the remains belong to right hands and all are large, between 25 to 31 centimeters long. This indicates that these hands could belong to adult beings of approximately 2.70 to 2.90 meters in height. The Austrian archaeologist Manfred Beitok, who directs the excavations in the ancient city of Avaris, explained to the magazine Egyptian Archaeology that the cut hands could be the RST evidence that would support the old Egyptian writings on the art of some soldiers to cut the right hand of their fallen enemies, since it was believed symbolically that when seeing them they would diminish the enemy forces. Well, although this ending is still amazing, there is not much evidence or archaeological traces, as well as with feet, but it makes it clear that in ancient times there were beings much larger than the average human being today on planet Earth. Megaconstructions, another clue that on Earth there were beings with intelligence far superior to that of our times, or that they were gigantic beings, are the constructions to which to this day no one can give an accurate explanation. Let's start with what may be the most famous and controversial of all, the pyramids of Giza. They were built with more than 2.3 million granite blocks, with each block weighing from 2.5 tons to 60 tons. In South America, we have Sacsayhuaman, a megalithic fortress where continuous walls of 9 meters high were erected, made up of blocks of 90, 125 and up to 350 tons each, around 3,093 hectares, located in Cuzco, Peru. And without going too far away, in Peru there is also the city of Ollantaytambo, built with monoliths of 12 to 40 tons. Machu Picchu, city built with 120-ton blocks and smaller. In Asia, the Baalbek platform, built with blocks of rock weighing between 900 and 1,100 tons. In the same area, about 7 kilometers from the platform, some 3 giant meters of 1,000, 1,242 and 1,650 tons each of equally unknown origins are recognized. Curiously, in the manuscript of Enoch, chapter 7, it is said that God opened the desert of Dudael, to imprison the fallen angels and the angels that had disturbed humanity. Precisely, this desert is located in Lebanon, where lie the monoliths of 1,650 tons of weight. How were ancient humans capable of making such architectural works that to this day are almost impossible to replicate? Did they have extraterrestrial help or were there giant beings capable of moving such tons of weight? Perhaps both. And while we may not have a clear answer to these questions, we cannot escape the astounding evidence that lies right under our noses at these historic sites. Before we delve further into the obvious and incomprehensible, let's look at a historical document that relates the existence of a woman over 7 meters tall, in Ecuador, in the year 1984, the remains of a giant woman were found, which were given to the priest Carlos Vaca, which upon his death were analyzed by the Austrian scientist Klaus Dohna, who presented the results of that study at the Congress in Germany, in the year 2011. The scientist revealed that the remains were those of a giant woman that was 7.60 meters tall and that inhabited the Langenates mountain range. Skeleton in the Jungfrau Park in Zweierland. In addition to these cases, there are many more testimonial documents that relate the existence of beings of lengths between 3 meters to 3.50 meters in height that inhabited different parts of the earth, but they are nothing compared to the previous ones, which we could say that they are anomalous cases of giants in an ancient world of giants. In modern times we no longer see cases of such magnitudes, even if there are humans that measure more than 2 meters, the world record is in 2.5 meters high, far from the ancient giants that exceeded 3 meters and even more. All this, related to the colossal dimensions of the universe we inhabit, is that it does not seem so much shin, but begins to make sense. That's why I think we've been kept in the dark and the truth is out there in bits and pieces. In this book we are piecing those parts together so that we can at least see 1% of the puzzle. Now, to add more mystery to the historical facts, let's remember that our ancestors already believed in angels, extraterrestrial ships, and luminous spheres, so much so that they left evidence of them all over the place. UFOs everywhere. Many people believe that this UFO phenomenon is something new, something that we are just now beginning to see something about. But that is far from reality. For centuries, ancient cultures have already alluded to ships and beings that do not seem to be from Earth. All over the world, such manifestations have been seen in caves, pictures, and paintings. We will see that below. I did not limit myself at all when placing here all those images that I considered relevant to the subject because I do not want anything to be left out, or at least as little as possible. I should point out that in some of them there is a more mythological explanation, so let's start with the most famous, the Wandjina, or Wandjina, of the Australian Aborigines, a hunting society of whom there is evidence since 174,000 BC. Paintings on the Wandjina in Australia located in different parts of the Oceanic country, these anthropomorphic drawings represent the spirits of rain and clouds, and were the creators of life on Earth. In addition, they had special powers such as causing woods and intense lightning. Another case of anthropomorphic beings that arouse curiosity was discovered in India, in the tribal region of Bastar, Chhattisgarh. And what can this tell us? That humans in ancient times saw, or imagined, beings coming from another part of the cosmos. Some of the drawings in the caves of Chhattisgarh, the Indian times, as you can see, these girs are dated 10,000 years old, and among them there are shapes that refer to the UFO phenomenon and strange beings. Also in India, another ending generated controversy due to its incomprehensibility. In the Narmada Valley, where the oldest human skull in the country was found, a group of researchers, R.P. Pandey, Wasim Khan, and Kilawat Shah, discovered in a shelter called Rajatol a painting that seems to represent a strange visitor next to a ship and even a wormhole, together with a large number of small stone tools from the Mesolithic period SCA aired on the Oer. The girs of the Rajatol shelter, in the Narmada Valley. In Italy, for example, there is the UNESCO-protected Val Camoensia Valley, which has about 200,000 petroglyphs dating from the Neolithic to the Iron Age, making it the largest collection of rock art in Europe and the world. Among them are some that have been taken by subscribers to the ancient astronaut theory as expressions of beings from other planets, because of the helmet-like shape of their heads, although for archaeologists they are simply an expression of a ritual. Petroglyphs in Val Camoenicia in the American continent, from the USA to Argentina, caves in Mendoza and La Rioja, there are also remarkable examples of GERs that are puzzling. Just to name a few cases, in Utah, in Barrier Canyon, within the Canyonlands National Park, there is a series of stone drawings with anthropomorphic characterizations. In Bolivia, there is the mysterious fort of Samaipata at 1950 meters above sea level, UNESCO World Heritage Site since 1998, apparently constituted as a ceremonial center between the 14th and 16th centuries, which houses a petroglyph with a Dinite form of a UFO. Above, a petroglyph from Utah. Below, anthropomorphic beings found in La Rioja, Argentina, and next to them the Ying saucer of the fort of Samaipata. Also in Puebla, Mexico, a group of treasure hunters found, in 2017, a set of carved jade stones that leave little room for double interpretations. Mayans are seen exchanging earrings of large, elongated-headed beings. One of the carved jade stones found in caves in Puebla. Well, when we say art, we are not only talking about paintings and pictures, but also in books and texts we can end the allusions to strange beings and objects that came to Earth. The RST book that is known with some kind of GER discordant with its time is the Prodigiorum Liber, from the 4th century, where we read, in Inerii, while Livio Traso was promulgating the laws at the beginning of the Italian War, at dawn, there came a tremendous noise in the sky, and a globe of re appeared in Ems in the north. In the territory of Spoletum, a globe of re, golden in color, fell to earth spinning. It then seemed to increase in size, rose from the earth and ascended into the sky, where it obscured the sun with its brightness. It turned towards the eastern quadrant of the sky. This is how Julius Obsequens described the event that occurred around 91 BC. Book of Prodigies. In the Archbasilica of St. John Lateran, inside the Vatican State, there is a reliquary box that has aroused errant speculations over the years, especially because of one of the drawings inside. The reliquary, according to the Holy See of Roman Catholicism, is one of the RST testimonies of the custom of taking objects as souvenirs of the journey to the Holy Land, and its style and iconography suggest it is of Palestinian origin, with Syrian inyances. Inside of the reliquary dating from the 6th or 7th century, this treasure has images painted on the inside of the lid that can be read in a precise ascensional manner, from left to right and from bottom to top, to delineate the Christmas cycle, with the Nativity and the baptism in the Jordan, followed by another equally brief Easter cycle, with the three Marys at the tomb and the Ascension, divided by the central scene of the Crucifixion. Among these images there is one that represents Mary at the tomb of Jesus, while behind it rises a strange object, with a dome with errant entrances or windows from which a beam of light comes out. From the Book of Good Customs. One of the interior illustrations of the 1338 text, which is in the Musée Comte de Chantilly, France, shows a large sphere floating in the sky, which to some may be an astronomical representation or a ship of some strange kind. Around that time there was also Annals Lauris Senses Myers, a book dating from the 12th century AD, but telling stories from the 6th century. There, it is illustrated with an image in which two objects appear with a modern spacecraft aesthetic. They even seem to move from a combustion system, although the authorial reading of the illustration dictates that they would be comets or meteors. And the same day, while they were preparing for another assault against the Christians living in the castle, the glory of God was manifested above the church of the fortress. Those who were watching in the square outside, many of them still alive today, said they saw something that looked like two large Ming shields of a reddish color moving around the church, explains the work by unknown authors. From Annals Lauris Senses Myers. Returning to some of the most controversial works, we have the Madonna of San Giovannino, painted during the Renaissance, which today can be seen in the Palazzo Vecchio, Florence. It is unknown who was the author of this oil on canvas, although specialists have two candidates, Sebastiano Mainardi or Jacopo del Sellaio. The presentation of Mary, with her son and Ali St. John has been a very popular theme in this period of art. Botticelli, Leonardo, Raphael, and Michelangelo made their versions, although this one has a particularity. To the right of Mary's head there is a strange yin object in the background. La Madonna di San Giovannino, the artist, in addition, did not want the girl to go unnoticed, and for that reason he also painted a person, possibly a shepherd, who observes the artifact with great attention together with his pet. This is not the only religious painting where something strange is perched in the sky. Another notable example is the Annunciation with Saint Emigdio, 1486, by Italian artist Carlo Crivelli. The piece was created to commemorate the announcement of the Archangel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary, although the interpretation of the girl from which the beam of light is emitted depends on who you ask. The Annunciation with Saint Emigdio and the Baptism of Christ. Another work with a similar polemic is the Baptism of Christ, 1710, by the Dutchman Aert de Gelder, Rembrandt's pupil, inspired by the biblical passage in Matthew 3:16, from the New Testament, the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descended upon him. In the work, a circle opens in the sky and gives O beams of light towards the center of the scene, while a tiny bird seems to descend. But not all the pieces have such a simple explanation. For example, The Triumph of Summer is a tapestry dated 1538, made in Bruges, Belgium, that depicts the rise of a ruler to power. It is now in the Bavarian National Museum in Germany. The Triumph of Summer. This decorative piece has on the left as well as on the right several objects in the shape of a hat or a classic Ying ship, a disc with a crew dome. The life of the Virgin found in the Basilica of Notre Dame de Beaune, in Burgundy, France, which was erected in the 13th century and has Gothic and Renaissance elements. But it is not its architecture that most attracts the attention of religious tourists and the curious in general, but it houses a beautiful tapestry of the 15th century. The life of the Virgin Mary, in the Basilica of Notre Dame de Beaune. The tapestries were a fashion that originated around the 14th century and lasted until around 1530, when the Council of Trent asked to remove everything that did not allow the faithful to follow the service. In front of them, which were intended to tell a story from the Bible of the Virgin and Jesus in general, the choirs were usually placed. In this tapestry appear girls very similar to those of El Triunfo del Verano. But these are not the earliest depictions of a Ying saucer girl. In a 10th century piece from the Prajnaparamita Sutra, the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras, a collection of about 40 stories of Indian origin between about 100 BC and 600 AC, a number of ship-shaped objects also mysteriously emerge. In Glorification of the Eucharist, 1600, by the Italian Ventura Salim Beni, the girl of the orb, sphere of luminous light, appears once again. This altarpiece gained notoriety in ufology because the object between Jesus and God has a shape very similar to the famous Sputnik, the Russian satellite that started the space race with the USA in 1957. Glorification of the Eucharist and an image of Sputnik. Illustration of Utsuro Byun, by Nagahashi Matajiro in Uemi no Chiri, 1844. In Japan there are three texts describing experiences with the Utsuro Byun, Japanese for hollow boat tone shisetsu, 1825, Hyry Kish, 1835, and Uemi no Chiri, 1844. There it recounts the landing of a mysterious object found drifting o the coast of Hitachi province of eastern Japan in 1803. The illustration portrays the characteristics of the object that sailors found floating in the ocean. From the hollow boat came down a woman, who, not speaking Japanese, returned to her ship and was lost at sea. For Japanese folklorists it is just a story, for ufologists it is irrefutable evidence. Wu Yoru. Red M's in the Sky, by a few decades later, in 1892, Wu Yoru, one of the RST Chinese cartoonists, presented his Red Flames in the Sky, in which he recorded a strange event that happened on the Zuk Bridge next to the Fuzi Temple in Nanjing. Also in Asia, there is a Tibetan manuscript, dated to the 10th century. In a passage of the Prajnaparamita Sutra, The Perfection of Wisdom Sutras, the Vimanas, a Yin vehicle of Hindu origin, are depicted. The text assures that it yew with the speed of the wind and gave birth to a melodious sound. Prajnaparamita Sutra. This is just one representation of these vehicles, which, belonging to the religious order, appear in many works, such as The Flower Ship, 1916, an illustration by Balasag for the book Chitraramayana. The Flower Ship, 1916, an illustration by Balasaheb. Well, all this points to the fact that Ying objects and extraterrestrial beings are nothing that has not been seen before. And to focus a little more on the present day, not only in the sun or in ancient paintings objects are seen, but also on the moon. These two images are from April 4, 2020, and although the quality is not the best, we can see two spheres circling the lunar surface, which nobody knows what they are. However, there is something much more shocking than these images. There was an unidentified object that was Ying above us for a while and was RST seen on October 19, 2017. Oumuamua, the interstellar visitor. This strange object RST appeared in October 2017 and was named by astronomers at the University of Hawaii's Pan-STARRS Continuous Sounding System. Pan-STARRS, Oumuamua means messenger from far away that arrives RST, in Hawaiian. The telescopes were able to follow its trajectory for about 3 days until they lost sight of it. It is said that it was not a normal object, since it was 400 meters long and its width was 10 times smaller. It also had a reddish surface. At RST, it was believed that Oumuamua could be one of two things, either a comet or an asteroid. But very soon the option appeared that in fact its origin could be artificial. By saying that it could be artificial, we mean that it could be a fully operational probe sent intentionally to the vicinity of the Earth by some extraterrestrial civilization. Added to this possible theory are its unusual behaviors and characteristics, as well as the fact that it is the RST object discovered in the solar system that originated outside the solar system. In addition, Oumuamua is composed mostly of nitrogen, which is a rare element that has only been found on Pluto, and is only 0.5% of the total mass of the dwarf planet. Not only that, but scientists believe that there is not enough nitrogen in the universe to generate an object of the dimensions of our interstellar messenger. So, could Oumuamua be the irrefutable proof that life exists on other planets? Maybe yes and maybe no, but bringing us that much closer to a world largely unknown to all humans, it does. As Sherlock Holmes said, when you eliminate all logical solutions to a problem, the illogical, though impossible, is invariably the true. Testimonials from astronauts, former CIA agents and airline pilots about their sightings. Helen Sharman. In 1991, Helen Sharman spent 8 days in space, where she joined the Soviet mission to the Mir space station. She was 27 years old at the time and has given very strong statements saying that extraterrestrials exist and that with so many billions of stars in the universe there must be all kinds of different forms of life. Edgar Mitchell. He was the pilot of the Apollo 14 moon mission. Mitchell claims that he has been aware of many UFO visits to Earth during his career, but all have been covered. He describes the extraterrestrials as small beings who looked at us strangely. Deke Slayton. Deke participated in the Mercury Project, a program whose purpose was to take man to the moon. This astronaut was on several NASA I-Team missions, however, while performing his job, he reportedly saw an extremely strange craft and said, it looked like a saucer at a 45-degree angle, after a while it started up and took off, and I couldn't see it anymore. Brian O'Leary. NASA, in its early years, had planned to carry out a project to travel to Mars. O'Leary was part of it, however, the plan was cancelled. Nevertheless, Brian became an academic at Cornell University alongside Carl Sagan. After his retirement, the former astronaut assured about the existence of extraterrestrials on Earth. He also maintained that these beings would contribute to the technological advancement of our planet. O'Leary said the following: other civilizations have been monitoring us for a long time. Their appearance is strange from a Western point of view. Gordon Cooper. He accumulated no less than 222 hours in space. He was one of the astronauts in NASA's Mercury program. In 1963, he piloted the Faith 7 spacecraft for more than 34 hours. He also commanded the Gemini 5 mission. He retired from NASA in 1970. In 1985, he testified before the United Nations that the United States was detecting unknown objects on its radars on a daily basis and that the U.S. government was forcing astronauts and scientists to keep all this secret. Thus Gordon Cooper stated, "I think those extraterrestrial craft and their crews visiting Earth from other planets are obviously more technologically advanced than we are. I think we need a very high-level coordinated program to collect and scientifically analyze the planet's data on the various types of encounters in order to determine how best to act in a friendly manner with our visitors. It would rst be necessary to show them that we learn to solve our problems peacefully and not by war, before being accepted as a full member of the Universal Team. I am sure that being admitted would offer our world fantastic g possibilities for progress in all areas. For years, I have lived with a secret, the secret imposed on all specialists and astronauts. Now I can reveal that every day, in the United States, our radars detect objects of unknown shape and nature. There are thousands of eyewitness reports and documents to prove it, but nobody wants to publish them. Why? The authorities fear that people imagine some kind of horrible invaders. So the slogan remains, we must avoid panic at all costs." Heidi Marie Stefanishin Piper. One of the most extraordinary and clear UFO cases happened in the STS-115 mission of the SHU-LE Atlantis, in 2006. Among the crew members who saw strange devices near the SHU-LE was Heidi Marie Stefanishin Piper. The objects were captured on video, VE spheres in a kind of cylinder. It was obvious that something had intercepted the approach of Atlantis to Earth, but who better than the astronauts to tell exactly what they saw? That role fell to Heidi Marie Stefanishin Piper, but her live appearance ended dramatically when she fainted while trying to explain what they had seen. "It was something that had never been seen before," said the female astronaut at that NASA press conference. In total there were two continuous fainting spells. She tried to speak, but immediately staggered and lost consciousness. What was the subsequent authorial explanation? Space junk, ice crystals, etc. These accounts of former astronauts and pilots of the U.S. Armed Forces leave us with clear evidence that there is information that they do not want to reveal to us for the simple reason of wanting to protect us, and that over the years thousands of sightings have happened, and continue to happen. More than believing or not believing these testimonies, what is behind them is something simple. There are objects out there, and although we do not know what they are, they do not want to tell us what they do know. Shocking photographs of underwater UFOs. What you will see in the following pages are photographs taken in March 1971 from a U.S. Navy submarine between Iceland and Jan Mayen Island in the Atlantic Ocean. Location of the island. In all this journey, of the incomprehensible and unreal, I think we can deduce the following: we have no idea of anything, at least I don't think we do. But there is something we cannot escape from: the imminent evidence of ying objects on Earth, of giant objects, of objects visiting us, of giant beings that inhabited Earth, and that the elite, or whatever we want to call it, has hidden much of all the information from us. I think it may all be incomprehensible to our human mind, but something within us resonates with this. I think one recognizes the truth when one feels it. It is also unreal, because our senses, our mind, is not adapted to believe in such dimensions, such, that would nullify its existence and in turn, make it part of the whole. That is why, in the next and last chapter, we will talk about this. Nothingness and everything. Nothingness and everything, two sides of the same coin. Everything and nothingness do not exist and exist at the same time. In this last chapter we are going to go beyond the limits of our mind, because here you do not need it. It is not necessary that you try to understand anything, only that you let yourself be soaked by the abundance of incomprehension, letting it take you to universal levels where everything makes sense, and nothing makes sense, at the same time. The same point that composes everything composes nothingness. That's why talking about them immerses you, without asking, in the point of balance. Let me go deeper into this. When you begin to conceive of space-time as all there is, what is that all? Where is it? According to research, the all contains nothing but empty space. And how does this manifest itself in the objects we see and the reality we conceive of? Easy, through our 3D perception of the world as a physical construction of objects and shapes. The curious thing is that we have convinced ourselves for millennia of this truth. The truth that what we perceive is the only thing there is, or the only real thing. Through our spectrum of vision, we are not able to perceive more than a very small part of all the electromagnetic waves that exist in the cosmos. According to Dr. Karen Raj, the human eye is only capable of perceiving 0.0035% of reality. What is essential is invisible to the eye. The Li prints this con reams something very obvious: our reality is limited, or rather, limitedly false. And not because it is not real at a total level, but because we believe it is real. The point of understanding that everything and nothing are the same leads us to the point that contains them, to nothing and everything unit in something. What is that something? In the following chapters we will see different points that could bring us closer to answering that question. We will talk about totality and nothingness itself. First, under more spiritual points, then we will deal with some of the theories created by people who tried to put these concepts down in more technical words. The music of the stars to understand one of the greatest secrets of humanity and to know that everything and nothing together, talking about acoustic levitation can bring us closer to understanding how this universe works. Acoustic levitation is the experience of lifting in space, something or someone, without the intervention of known physical agents. We can understand levitation as floating in the air with nothing to hold the object or person. And when we speak of acoustic levitation, we refer to the fact that the reason why the object or person floats is because of some sound or sound frequency that causes it to levitate. The RST thing to think about is, how is this possible? To put ourselves a little more in context, the universe as we know it is composed of energetic frequencies, that is, everything is composed of energy vibrating in the whole, or in nothingness itself. By logical deduction, you and I are also energy, just like a rock, a tree, your computer, and everything around you. So, by accessing certain vibrational waves, we could make objects levitate, or even ourselves. There are many legends about people with the ability to levitate by entering into deep states of meditation where, according to what they said, they accessed altered states of consciousness and stopped contemplating themselves as a physical body, and in that world they were able to do anything, one of them, to levitate. Of these stories, as much as we can envy them on the web and they seem to be true, there are also many theories with great validity that disprove their actions and end up proving that they were simply tricks they used to deceive people, so I did not consider relevant to mention any specific one. Still, there is a very impressive case of a sculptor who built a park of rock gates, alone, without the help of any, known, instruments or people. Edward Liedskalnin, who was born in 1877 in Latvia, became one of the most impressive acoustic levitation enigmas of all. At the age of 20, he settled in Florida, USA, where he began the construction of a lifetime, his Rock Gate Park, a sprawling stone city made of more than 1,000 tons of coral rock, stones weighing up to 35 tons each. People who knew of this sculptor began to wonder how a man with tuberculosis could have maneuvered, cut, and shaped all that rock into place by himself. In 1986, long after his death, the gate to the park, then called Coral Castle, broke and it took six men with a 45-ton crane to exit. Liedskalnin never revealed his secrets, he only said that he knew how to tune into the music of the stars. In the sculptor's words, "I have discovered the secrets of the pyramids and found out how the Egyptians and the ancient builders of Peru, Yucatan, and Asia, with only primitive tools lifted and placed stone blocks weighing many tons." In addition, his neighbors claimed to have heard him singing to their coral. Also, a group of teenagers swore they had seen him floating blocks of coral like hydrogen balloons. Simple. Most tellingly, a large stockpile of radio equipment was found in the depths of the castle, as well as a soundproofed and hermetically sealed room that may have been used for sound experiments. Another striking story is that of a Swede known as Dr. Jarl, who, in the 1930s, came to Tibet to a place where few people had been before. Yarl was invited there by a friend he had in Tibet to treat a prominent Lama who had fallen ill. An account of Yarl's trip was published in a German magazine, detailing his time in Tibet and a most extraordinary story. According to the doctor, one day he was taken to a meadow surrounded by high kli. On one of these kli, about 250 meters above the ground, was a cave and the beginnings of what appeared to be a stone wall being built by the locals. Yarl wondered how it was possible to do such a thing, since there was no way to the ledge except perhaps by hanging a rope. He noticed with curiosity that in the barren meadow was a huge slab of polished rock with a bowl shape carved in the middle. In a moment, a group of monks carrying clunky instruments came into view. These monks brought with them huge iron drums and 3-meter-long horns. The monks used an ox to drag a substantial rock over the smooth slab of rock in the meadow. They then placed their instruments around it and began to play by beating the iron drums with leather mallets and blowing their horns. What happened next shocked Yarl. When the stone was in place, the monk behind the small drum gave a signal to begin the concert. The Li drum had a very high-pitched sound and could be heard even with the other instruments making a terrible din. All the monks were chanting and chanting a prayer, slowly increasing the tempo of this incredible noise. For the rest 4 minutes nothing happened, then as the speed of the drums and the noise increased, the big stone block started to sway and sway, and suddenly took off into the air with increasing speed in the direction of the platform in front of the cave hole, 250 meters high. After 3 minutes of ascent, it landed on the platform. Amazed, Yarl watched the monks repeat this process over and over again, moving 5 to 6 rocks every hour as the rock wall slowly grew. He couldn't believe his eyes, assuming he might have been hypnotized or drugged. So he set up a camera to record the process. When he saw what he recorded, he verified exactly what he had seen, rock by rock levitating as if by magic. The funny thing is that when Yarl returned to Europe, the scientific society that had sponsored his trip confiscated his videos and they subsequently disappeared. So was Yarl really hypnotized or did these monks have secret knowledge that could levitate rocks in the air? Was this a similar experience to what the sculptor in the above story did with rocks to build his park? Today we know that acoustic levitation is nothing that cannot be done, therefore, these stories do not necessarily have to be mere legends or myths. In acoustic levitation, sound is used to counteract the force of gravity. Simply when sound waves bounce off a surface, the interaction between the compressions and refractions created causes interference. Occasionally, reactions and interference combine to create what is called a standing wave. These are sound waves that appear to vibrate rather than travel from place to place. Essentially, when the orientation of the standing wave is parallel to the force of gravity, the effect is levitation. These standing waves are created using an acoustic levitator, a device composed of a transducer, a vibrating surface that creates sound, and a reactor. The transducers of the monks were the drums and horns, the reactors the smooth slab of rock with its concave surface. Something very important is also the distance from what we call transducer to the object to be moved. It must be very precise. But we don't need to go into so many details, let's just stay with what is behind all this, an invisible eld that moves by vibration waves where everything is connected with everything, through certain sounds/frequencies. The secret is in the geometrical location of the musical instruments in relation to the stones to levitate and the harmonic tuning of the drums and trumpets. Bruce Cathy, so, if there is a eld that we are all part of, that is there all the time with us and that we can access whenever we want, can we claim that we have an innate mind? I mean, what is the limit of our possibilities in this physical experience we are living here on Earth? Are we humans simply a physical body, meant to eat, sleep, and reproduce, or do we also have access to all this ancestral knowledge to create, literally, whatever we want? The innate mind, the mind, our innate mind. What we saw about acoustic levitation does nothing more than explain what both you and I experience all the time, the energetic vibration and inexplicable connectivity of all things. The wonderful thing about this is that, as parts of a whole, our mind becomes innate, innate in possibilities of events. Everything is events or probabilities of events, however we look at it. Understanding that we possess an innate mind opens up a world of endless ways of seeing what happens, or creating what happens. From a level of separation, things just happen. From a level of unity/wholeness, everything you are happens, because there is no real separation. Separation of events is only a mental creation. Seeing ourselves as innate beings with an innate mind makes it possible for us to detach from our egoic boundaries governed by form, where there is no contemplation that anything can happen, because it is already happening. Let's bring this down to earth a little bit, that you are reading a book to know the one truth was one of the many possibilities that there were for you to believe that such a book existed. From my perspective, I created the book, but the truth is that, in order for you to read it, you must have been able to create that event, because I do not know you, nor did I know that a book with this title would be read. To choose the name, I chose from the innate number of possible options, all possible and all existing in the universe of innate possibilities. Where I am going with this is that we are all creating, all the time, as everything creates itself. It is nothingness itself merging into everything. Or it is everything being nothingness itself. This is what scientists have called wave or particle behavior in energy. Dual behavior, which depends on who is looking at it. So this book may contain all the truth for you and be very revealing, but another may hate it and end it completely useless. From my point of view, this book contains the whole truth, because you already are the whole truth. In minds with lacking beliefs, lacking of, this book will be lacking. The wonderful thing about the whole is that each part represents the whole. Therefore, to understand the truth, it is not necessary to know everything, it is enough to know nothing. Or, to not believe that we need to know anything, thus allowing us to contemplate ourselves as part of the truth and then live it. Shades of reality, as we mentioned at the beginning of this chapter, we know that our ability to see at the spectral level is less than 0.1%. Doesn't this just make it clear that everything we have written about in this book? Remember, possibilities. We are very limited at the level of focus when it comes to taking in the totality of the cosmos. In reality, all that the universe holds is far beyond all of our senses. It is difficult to dimension the enormous amount of things that we are not able to perceive. To go deeper into this, we can draw on a few paragraphs from Jacob Gringer's book The Synergistic Theory, Chapter V, which he entitles The Directionality Factor. We might, when viewing a landscape, decode the image of the craters on the moon or perceive a distant galaxy because each point on the lattice contains information about them. The fact that the resulting image is that of the landscape or the object and not another means that we have focused attention. This phenomenon is called directionality factor. Don Juan Matus, shaman from Sonora, calls it anchor point. The lattice and the existence of the synergic bands explain this human condition of being an instrument of reception of a more expanded consciousness. All these relativistic eeks seem strange because with our senses we do not experience four-dimensional space-time, but can only observe its three-dimensional reactions. These eeks will seem absurd if we do not realize that they are only three-dimensional projections of phenomena that take place in four dimensions, just as shadows are projections of three-dimensional objects. Exploring into the realm of philosophy, this certainly reminds us of the idea of Platonic solids and especially the idea of the hypercube, which posits that a painting is the shadow of a three-dimensional cube, just as a cube is the shadow of a four-dimensional hypercube, each dimension being the shadow of the higher dimension. In a similar way, Plato argued that material things are the shadows of ideas, starting from this premise and taking into account that the form and the so-called substance are only projections. The only way to know the truth, the ultimate, and rst, reality would be knowing, experiencing, and living the light that is the cause of the projection of the forms. It is there that the Neoplatonic mystic Plotinus expounded his theory of hypostasis. Hypostasis is the true substance, the true being, declares the theory of Plotinus, and whose structure is as follows: rst hypostasis, the absolute one; second hypostasis, nous, equivalent to logos; third hypostasis, soul. So, continuing with the text, to know the truth we simply need to live. Coming now to the end of the book is where I want us to go deeper into this matter of knowing the only truth. There is something inside me that wants to give you the answer, to give you the one truth, but there is also that other part that tells me that I have already done it, that, in creating this book, that one truth will manifest itself in the reader who can connect with it. And I will trust that. Whether it is the patents and all the theories surrounding the Illuminati elite, the predictions of TV channels or a card game, the unidentified yin objects coming out of the ocean, on the moon, the sun, or in ancient paintings, everything is a truth for the one who experiences it. The same goes for the placebo or nocebo effect or energy control powers such as levitation and many others not mentioned in this book. I repeat, everything is a manifestation of our own projection. Shadows of reality. They do not want us to wake up given everything we have seen. It is even logical that the purpose of this elite that controls everything is that we do not wake up, that we do not know the truth and that we do not think on our own. They know very well that we are very impressionable and they use this to their advantage. Apart from everything we have talked about, if this book can be of any use to you, it is for you to look inward, not so much outward. Maybe here we saw many things from the outside world, but that is not the main focus of the message that contains the only truth. To stop being unconsciously controlled by everything that happens externally, we must start by having control over our life. Such control comes with the responsibility that we can decide how we take things. This book is not a material to empower you with anger because you are being controlled or because you are not being told everything that happens out there, but to focus on the most important thing, yourself. In this last chapter we will talk about those people who were on the verge of changing things and ended up mysteriously disappearing. They were people who had many ideas and were carrying them out for the good of humanity, but from one moment to the next, they were never heard from again. Let's dive into these stories, but again, it's not to think how unfair, nothing can be done but to remember that even if they want to control everything, the truth will always eventually come out. You and I and the millions of others who will read this book are part of that change. We may not be able to do anything individually other than change our own inner world, but if millions of people also change their inner world and come to the truth, then millions of beings transforming their inner world are now indirectly transforming the outer world. Three people who were to open our eyes, but mysteriously vanished. Frank Suarez, the RST one we will talk about is Dr. Frank Suarez, who died on February 25, 2021, after falling from the balcony of his 9th-floor apartment in the Park de Loyola condominium in Hato Rey, according to the Puerto Rico police. The curious thing about his death is that it was just before launching his new book that would deal with the cure for cancer and metabolism. Frank began to give negative comments towards pharmaceutical companies. He did not recommend using these types of products since many of them could cause illnesses again since they usually contain many side effects. In other words, even if they work in the short term, in the long term they are not at all beneficial to the human body. There are two versions of Frank's death. The RST is the one that everyone knows since it was in the news, that he committed suicide by falling from the 9th floor from where he was staying. The authorities simply said that Frank took his own life because a year ago he was taking depressants because he simply felt very bad. His friends and family did not agree with this because he had a lot of projects and things he wanted to do. And this is where the second hypothesis appears. Frank days before started to tell about the pharmacies and the drugs that people normally consumed, explaining about the side effects and the prods that these pharmacies had in order to keep making more and more money. In a video he said the following: with the information that we give here in Metabolism TV, with the idea that all of you are not victims of the system, victims of ignorance, the only defect of the body is that sometimes it has an ignorant owner. Frank turned to a whiteboard and started explaining some things about the 10 most harmful drugs, the list of the most sold drugs, and there really is no drug that is not harmful, there is no drug that does not have side effects. In a video titled Episode Number 1200, Is It Helping Me or Hurting Me?, Frank explained that a famous doctor named Nicholas Gonzalez passed away suspiciously as he was working on ways to cure cancer naturally. Frank started mentioning that people were in danger when they tried to get into that section and that they died mysteriously, woke up lifeless and even fell from places where nobody falls. This is where it all seems to come together. Stanley Meyer, this is the case of one of the inventors who would have brought about a major change in the automotive industry. Myers was a North American scientist who developed, manufactured, and patented the RST real alternative energy source to oil, using only tap water. Specifically, an engine capable of driving a vehicle with only H2O as a source of energy. His theory consisted of breaking the water molecule by means of positive kilowatt pulses, at frequencies of between 10 and 15 kHz. The mixture was then injected into the engine, which produced water again. It was not even necessary to recharge the engine with more liquid, since the component coming out of the exhaust pipe was recycled back into water autonomously, and only 7.4 microliters of water were needed for each explosion to generate 50 horsepower. Stanley Myers went on to work for NASA and was named Inventor of the Year in 1993. However, he died of poisoning under mysterious circumstances at the age of 57, one day before signing a multimillion-dollar contract with the U.S. Department of Defense. Some conspiracy theorists pointed to the oil industry as his killers, and even his brother claimed that months later Myers' buggy and experimental equipment were stolen. Jacob Grinberg. We talked about Jacob's discoveries in the previous chapter, but perhaps what the reader did not realize is that he was on this list of people who mysteriously disappeared. Jacob was directly concerned with many things that are still hidden from the general public. He was already testing the telepathy and psychic powers of human beings. This, although for you the reader is nothing new, Jacob's case is that he was spreading it all over the world, becoming very well known. The scientist has been missing for more than 28 years, since December 8, 1994. The news was given by his family on December 12th of that year, as they had prepared a birthday celebration for him, to which he never showed up. Although nothing is known about it, theories are that he could have been the victim of a crime, that his investigations disturbed the CIA and the FBI, and even that he could have been abducted by extraterrestrials. We could go on adding people to this list, but it is not necessary since the end is clear. There is a certain limit to our outer freedom, but there will never be a limit to our inner freedom. Death is nothing to fear. If anything, we should move away not from our purpose in life, but from wanting to tee into the mold set by the elite. There may not yet be a car that runs on water, there may not yet be the definitive book on the cure for cancer, there may not yet be telepathy and other mental powers accessible to everyone, but these are just excuses. In reality, there are people with supernatural powers, there is a lot of information about how to prevent diseases and what they really are, and there are also many inventions that are revolutionizing human life. If you want to know them, just put that on YouTube, inventions that will revolutionize human life or something like that. Of course, this book does not contain the whole truth, but it contains the only truth, you create your own. Final reflection. I chose the title Know the Only Truth to Erect a Engine and Produce a Sudden Shock in Your Mind. I don't have the only truth, nor do I intend to at some point. As I was writing this book, I wrote down in my notebook that I wanted others to read it because it conveyed a sense of joy in knowing the vastness and madness of the world we live in. Madness in a good sense, that sense that unslay you and makes you rethink many things. This world is fantastic, and I hope that now that you have finished reading the book you can consider it so. In this game of life, I think the interesting thing is not to try to pass the game, or to win, or to fear losing, but simply to play. You are a character, but you are also the director of the movie you are creating. We all are, we all play, we just take it so seriously that we forget to have fun. They say the truth will set you free, but RST it will bother you a-le-le. I am aware that there are chapters and things that I have written here that can generate controversy and lead you to a point that you had not considered, or to complain, whatever, just remember something, your freedom does not depend on where you are, or with whom, but on how you think. You are the creator not of what happens to you, but of how you react to it. In a causal world, remember to take care of the cause and love the actions, whatever they are. I send you a big hug, may love to be with you always, and may peace be in your days. Thank you for reading me.